Well, good morning, everyone. If you would please stand, let's turn in our hymn books to page one. We're going to make it really easy for you today. Page one. Let's sing the first, third, and fifth, all right? We'll do all odd numbers today, all right? On the first.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in my sorrows. He bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
When with the ransomed in glory,
his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. It's good to see you today. Trust everybody had a wonderful Christmas. And you look like you're still recovering, but we'll get past that. And we're just thrilled to be here this morning where we can worship our great God. And thankful that he'd bring us together in the name, the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as I look around, see a lot of the church family here, but we've got a lot of folks. I think there's a plague moving through Metropolitan Baptist Church. A lot of folks sick. So please be in prayer for each other. But in spite of that, we've got a nice group here and a lot of visitors with us this morning. So we welcome you to our services. And again, as always, we are extremely honored that God brought you our way. What we want to do right now is shake some hands. Well, church family, make sure you get by and welcome our visitors. Tell them how much you're glad they're here with us at Metropolitan Baptist Church today. So let's do that right now. Amen.
right, please remain standing. Let's turn to page 24. We'll sing all two verses.
From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom, knowing when he left his father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes will begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
All right, how many of y'all did not know that song? I thought so. I usually don't do that, but it happened today. I'll tell you what, let's sing the first verse now that you got some practice. We'll sing that first verse as our last verse, okay? Let's sing it one more time.
From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom, knowing when he left his father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes will begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me.
Good job. Please be seated. more time. Let's turn to page 403.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful?
This might be a little silly, but this time let's sing that last verse and smile when you sing it, okay? You encourage me when you smile. I appreciate it. All right, let's sing that last verse. Love beyond our human comprehending. Isn't that right? Let's sing it.
Love beyond our human comprehending. Love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending. Great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me.
Good, you can be seated.
Gentlemen, if y'all take your places, we'll get ready to receive this morning's offering. Excuse me. Go over a few announcements right quick. Top of the list, Happy New Year, early. Folks, looking forward to having another good year with y'all this year. This coming Wednesday, we'll have regular services. If it hadn't been announced, we'll have it on Wednesday. It's a regular midweek service. The college and the career will be having a bonfire this Saturday. And for those who have not got it yet, I'd like to encourage y'all to sign up on the back table to read through the Bible in the year. We got a reading list, and we're going to partner with Oak Harbor Baptist Church in Oak Harbor, Washington. And I think we're going to keep tally on this and kind of keep a it's a survey we're going to try to do here. And I'd like to encourage each and every one of y'all to do that. And if you don't have a list, we can print more. More can be made. And welcome. TTU spring classes are starting on the 4th. We're going to have a ladies' brunch on the 6th over at Cracker Barrel, and they're going to have a 16th as a ladies' fellowship and a pastor's class. We've got Project Nativity meeting on the 12th to, as Brother Matt would say, our ups and downs, and give our positives and negatives on it, see how what we did right and what we can do better next time. Folks, we still need some prayer warriors. That's one of the most important things that takes place. While the preacher is preaching, there's folks in the back praying for him, okay? This is something we desperately need some more of. And, of course, we still need some nursery workers. We haven't passed out all of our hard hats yet, so we still have a few left. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Thanks for a wonderful opportunity to come today and serve you, Lord. And, Lord, right now, asking you to be with the offering about to receive, with the gift and the giver. Lord, please be with the preacher. Give him power on high. Hide him behind the cross and give him the words you want him to say, Lord. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
sure he must have been surprised at where this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him? With all the rulers in the world, why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, and why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. Such a strange way to save the world. To think of how it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why here? Inside this stable filled with hay, why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world." Whoa. Now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to save the world. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to save the world.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Strange in our mind, indeed. Hard for us to understand why God would be pleased to work in such a way, being God. And yet, we also understand, as we would read our Bibles, that that exact way that he had laid out to save you and I was ordained and decreed before creation itself. Beginning of time, God had
ordered in his heart how he would be pleased to save you and I. You see, the passage we're going to be looking at today is from Philippians chapter 3. And if you have found your place there, I'd ask you to please stand with me in reverence to God's Word. Begin reading in verse 8, but what we have here is the Apostle Paul, Philippians, declaring indeed his own inadequacies. It's kind of become a common cliche, unfortunately, but so very, very, very true. When someone would ask me, I'd borrow from others that statement. Folks ask you, how you doing? The declaration should be and can be indeed far better than we deserve. Paul understood that. He understood that perfectly. And as he would look back at himself and his own life and flesh, he understood that without Christ, he had nothing, no hope, no answers. And we pick up in this passage as he's talking about this. In verse 8, he says, "And yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after it, that it might, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Excuse me. Verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth toward those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Father, once again, we bow before you, asking that you might be pleased to enter in. Lord, thank you for the music. Thank you for the opportunity to testify of your goodness in song. Now, Father, we have your word before us. We ask that you might get the preacher aside and that you might be pleased to speak to us. Take your word, illuminate our hearts and our understanding, that we would see Jesus today, that we'd see him exalted and magnified and glorified, that he would be lifted up in our hearts and in our lives, Father, in this church and in this community. Father, that in this world, Jesus might be exalted for who he is and what he's done for us. Lord, might you bar the wicked one from entering in and in any way causing a hindrance or obstacle to what you would seek to do today, claiming the promise, Father, that you will accomplish through your word that for which you order. And again, we love you. We thank you out of hearts of love, realizing, Father, that we only love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen and amen. Of course, we'll be seated. This is the last Sunday, 2013. I'm sure everyone here that was here on the first Sunday of 2013 remembers exactly what I preached that day. No one's raising their hand and want to tell me all about it? Do you recall that we preached from this passage of Scripture? The theme of Metropolitan Baptist Church in this, our 90th year of existence, was preaching Jesus, pressing on toward the mark. And that, of course, is our theme, our desire, our goal. And it's through this year, it's been our hope, our purpose to preach Jesus Christ. Indeed, shouldn't be hard for a Bible preaching, Bible believing church to do. Well, this morning, we do come to the last Sunday in 2013. You know, it is in many senses getting late. Late, we might say, in this month. It's late in the year. And every year this time of the year, we can't help but think about what's taking place over the course of the year. There'll be time over, especially the next few days, where we'll kind of reminisce and think back, and we'll review much of what took place in our lives this year. It's something we just do. Right, wrong, or whatever, it seems we can't much help ourselves. We do think about the past. I had someone ask me a while back about funny things that may have happened to me in the ministry. And you know, it's I don't know why it is. You know, you can be talking about different things and you remember this and you remember that. But just walk up and ask somebody, tell me something funny or different or strange or odd that happened to you last year. Well, then you got to stop and think, and you know you're kind of racking your brain, and you know some things did happen, but you know can't quite bring it to recollection. You know, I talked to the doctor about that a few weeks ago when we had her physical. I told him I seemed to be getting forgetful. I forget why I went into a particular room. I forget whether I'd answered a letter or not, or where I'm going, or what it is I want to do when I get there. No amens to all that. I really need your help, Doc. What can I do? And the doctor was real quiet, and he thought a little bit. And then I could tell he's trying to be as kind as he could. He says, would you pay me in advance? I don't think God looks at the calendar the same way we do. I really doubt it. We realize that He has, because of His dealings with us, because of His dealings with finite creatures, that He has, to a measure at least, restrained Himself, put Himself under the restraints of working with man through time, in the course of time. We see in the Scriptures that at times He has revealed that He has a timetable and how He's working things out. An example of that would be even looking at the prophecies of Daniel. We read in Daniel of those 70 weeks or 70 sevens of years, 490 years, of which we've seen those first 69 weeks fulfilled in a very amazing way. That from the announcement that the Jews would be allowed to return to the city of Jerusalem, to Israel, and rebuild the city, the temple, until the day of the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into His royal city, Jerusalem, was the fulfillment of those first 69 weeks. Yet the fulfillment of that last week or 7 years has been on hold since the Lord Jesus Christ returned to glory. When God does see fit to set that last week into motion, there will be 7 years of a tribulation time that will lead up to a 1,000-year millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as He sits and rules upon the throne of David. Now, I say all that and relate all that simply to establish in our hearts and our thinking that God does work in time. He does have a timetable, but I still don't think that He particularly looks at December 31st and January 1st the same way that we do. Indeed, We may hear the last trump before this day is done. Then again, we may go through the course of 2014 and not hear that last trump. But one thing I do know, one day we will. One day that trump will sound. And we'll hear the declaration that our King is returning. As humans, we're constrained to time. We're constrained to time. We live out life in seconds and minutes and hours and so on. We look at the days and the months and the years in measures and segments of time. And with that said, there's something about the end of one year and the dawning of a new year that impresses a milestone, if you will, upon our thinking, upon our hearts. Dear ones, as we said, it's late. It's late. Late in December, it's late in 2013. And in submission to the sovereignty of our great God, I believe it's late in the age. It's late in this age in which we're living. Now, it's easy to say such things, and we might say that makes good preaching. But can we not, today more than ever, recognize the signs of our Lord's imminent return? How many, if might be, some in this room that will not see death in a normal course of things, but hear that very last trump? Well, with all that said, you say, where are you going with this, preacher? Well, I want us to look at some things from Philippians chapter 3 here that should challenge us. Should challenge us at year's end, or even as we would be looking forward into a new year. I believe the Apostle Paul would lay out some things that would challenge us and remind us of what's truly important to focus our lives upon. And in verse 9, or it's actually in the verses before verse 9, we see how Paul looked at his own body, his flesh. And we see that in his mind, you and I need to throw away, we need to trash the flesh. You know, the Bible, that's one of these things right here, in case you're wondering. The Bible doesn't have much good to say about the flesh. You won't find much good in the Bible about the flesh. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, "For I know." Paul was saying, "I understand. I realize." He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." No good thing. Isn't that fly in the face of what the world wants to tell you? There's that spark of good in everyone. Is that what the Bible says? Beloved, I don't think you'll find that anywhere in the Scriptures. It's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God reminds us over and over again that in reality there's nothing good about us, that in us dwelleth no good thing. There's a large and very popular faction, even within Christianity, that believes it's very important to make sure folks... I'm glad there's doors on either side here. I may need to make an escape. That there's that portion within Christianity today that wants to make sure you have a good self-esteem. They want you to build up your self-image. Beloved, the last thing we need to do is focus more on self. The last thing we knew, we're born selfish. We're born self-centered and self-focused. Oh my. They make money. This group makes money on books pumping up the sinner's image of himself. I'm really going to get in trouble. I'll try to be as kind here as I can. Could you imagine that fellow with the big smile from Houston ever quoting Romans chapter 7 and verse 24? You know what that verse says? "Oh, wretched man that I am." Huh? No. Help me be a better me? No. Hey, the old man's to be put to death. Why? So that that new man in Christ Jesus can have life. Paul said, "Oh my, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" Thankfully, Paul was able to go on and declare, "Thank God through Jesus, we have that deliverance." Well, the Apostle Paul saw himself in clear light of the standard of the Word of God. He acknowledged that there was nothing good in him, in or about himself. There was nothing about himself that he would dare try to commend himself to God in. No. How much good did he see in himself? None. Remember, Paul said this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Good thing. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writing to that church in the city of Ephesus, and he's talking about that contrast before of the old man, the lost man, and that new man that was in Christ, and how that we were once those ones who were following after the course of this world and all the junk that is in this world. And in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, he declares, "Among whom also we all," every one of us, "had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's not a very popular message, is it? Woo! Kind of really takes the legs out from under us. But it's what the Bible says, beloved, concerning you and I in our lost condition. We need to trash the flesh, but hallelujah, it doesn't stop there. Secondly, in this passage, we see we need to treasure our place in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to treasure our place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul says here in verse 9. Well, let me back up. I'll read verse 8 with it. Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered a loss of all things and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Beloved, we need to treasure what we have in Christ. Treasure what is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding our lost condition. Understanding what we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding what we were before we were redeemed, before Jesus was pleased to save us. Understanding our lost condition causes us, it makes us, it helps us to value, treasure that place that we now have in the Lord Jesus Christ. These truths here, what we were as sinners and undone, helpless and hopeless, and what we are, the blood-bought and redeemed children of God, place saved and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those truths, beloved, are what should make the difference in our lives. Should be that which motivates us, causes us to live not for ourselves, but for the glory of this one that did save us. Indeed, to treasure that place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants us to see ourselves rightly. He wants us to see ourselves with that 20/20 spiritual vision. We are sinners who were corrupted by our sin with no ability to save ourselves. But, aren't you thankful for those little words? But, beloved, because we've been redeemed by the blood of God's Lamb, we've been placed, I love the expression, in Christ. in Christ. Listen to these words. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul declared, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." Thank you, Lord. You're in Christ. You've been blessed with how many spiritual blessings? Some of them? Most of them? Majority? All spiritual blessings in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, those familiar words, where it says, "Therefore, if any man be what? In Christ." Old things are passed, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What's made the difference? Being in Jesus. Being saved. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there the Apostle Paul declares, "There is therefore no condemnation to them." To who, Paul? To them which are in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Paul told those folks in Ephesus. He told the folks down in Corinth. He told the believers in Rome all basically the same thing. You have a blessing. You have something to treasure, to value, to esteem because you're saved. Because you're in Christ. God looks over the parapets of glory. Hallelujah, he doesn't see the wicked sinner Jim Turner, one deserving his wrath in the pit of hell. No, he looks over the parapets in glory and sees his beloved son. And he sees you and I that are saved in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, what you've done for us. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that God would help folks that are struggling. You know, a lot of folks struggle spiritually. We're just having that victory of that God loves them. God cares about them and he's done for them. Jesus has done it all. And God has been pleased to place you in his own beloved son. With all that you ever need to have victory for him in this old life. But thirdly, we also see in this passage that we need to trumpet that truth. We need to trumpet the gospel of Christ. We've read here in verse 9, but let me read it again. It says, "To be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death." Beloved, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart." What's that mean? To sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Well, I got to dumb things down quite a bit. It means simply make God special in your hearts. He would have a unique, special place in your heart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And in that, as God owns and inhabits and has that special place, that unique, sanctified place in our hearts and in our lives, then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Beloved, we need to trumpet this truth. We need to trumpet the gospel of Christ. You know, I know that I often preach and talk about the ills of this old world in which we live. And we talk about the spiritual condition of this world and how we see things declining all around us. It's almost as if, I mean, we realize it's always been that way. We realize that the Apostle Paul says that evil men shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better, beloved. We realize that. But it seems in these last couple decades that the slope of this descent into declension and wickedness has grown steeper and steeper. Where it seems like our world and our society can't get fast enough to wickedness. We realize that. But with that said, beloved, you and I have the gospel. You and I have what this world needs. And we can't blame Washington or Austin or the local government for the condition of this world when we're not trumpeting the gospel as we should. When we're not declaring what the answer to this world really is. Hey, when we're not living that righteous and holy life to show this world, hey, it can be different. It don't have to go that way all along. That, hey, God can change things. He does make a difference in people's lives. We need to trumpet the gospel. If you're saved, are you saved today? Then give the Lord. Give the Lord that special place. It belongs to Him. He bought and paid for you and me with His own blood. Might we give Him that place that He deserves. And out of that place, out of that heart of appreciation and gratitude, hey, out of that heart of love for Him, be ready to share Him with this world. I'm praying God would do something in this preacher. You know, I have the privilege to stand here behind this holy desk and preach the gospel, declare the word of God each and every week. I'm thankful for that. But what about outside these doors? Are we being the testimony and the witness that this world desperately needs? Hey, it's dark out there. God's put a light in you and I. He struck a match to us that we could be those flaming lights for Him in this lost and dying world. Oh God, please, please help us to be those trumpets for the gospel of Christ. But beloved, we also see in this passage, and I know I'm moving along kind of quick, but there's a lot here. We see as well we need to topple our pride. Topple our pride. It just seems like it goes against us. Just in our flesh and our natural condition, we're prideful people. Not a single amen. We're prideful people, beloved. Just part of the fall. Nobody has to tell me to look out for number one. It comes natural. It comes natural in view of what we are, beloved, without Christ. My mind is baffled, knowing what I am. Hey, nobody knows me like me. Nobody knows you like you. Huh? And if we get honest, if we were just flat honest, we'd have to say, why would God save me? Why would the holy God of the universe take upon Himself flesh and blood, come to this earth planet, live that holy, righteous life, and lay down that life for me? I'm nothing but a sinner. And yet that's exactly what Jesus did. And it should do something to our pride, should it not? When we understand who and what we really are and what God has done for us. Would you look over to Philippians chapter 2 with me? We need to deal with pride. This is a tough passage for me. It's so convicting. The Apostle Paul writes to this church there at Philippi, and he says to them in verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. How could we do that, Paul? It should be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He goes on to say to those folks, and I believe to you and I today, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in, listen, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Wow. Does that sound like something to hear from those that want to pump up your self-image? I don't think so. No. Beloved, you and I need to bring ourselves down. Paul literally tells us that we should look at others and say, hey, if anything, see others as better. Huh? Well, I'll tell you, the psychoanalysts, they'll be putting you in a straitjacket if you start talking about things like that. But listen, what's the very next words? What's verse 5 say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If that's crazy, then Jesus was crazy. If it's insane to put others before ourselves, if it's nuts to esteem all better than ourselves, then that was Jesus. He was crazy. But I don't think so. I don't think so. Beloved, hey, what kind of an impact would it have in this crazy world we live if we started being or having the mind of Christ? Or that you and I, hey, young people, can start with you. It can start with every one of us. That we, in literally, not just on Sunday morning between 11 and 12, but literally believe that others that are better than... Hey, the idea is bringing ourselves down and lifting others up. Magnify. Be there for others. Start thinking about others. Hey, it's contrary to Jim Turner's nature. Jim Turner was born with the desire to look out for who? Jim Turner. Huh? But then there was a day in December 1974 that something happened. Something happened, and I love to say this, forgive me, I haven't got over it yet. Where Jesus changed things. The more he's in charge of the show, the more I understand that there's folks that are more... Hey, making others more important is the key. You know how you want to get over the depression you're battling? Start doing stuff for other people. Start focusing on other people. You'll snap out of that thing. Focus on doing for others, meeting other people's needs. What's happening when you're doing that? You're getting your eyeballs up off of yourself. Huh? Lord, help us. Topple our pride. Topple our pride. But then, forgive my alliteration here, fifthly, we need to trounce the past. Trounce the past. What's verse 13 say? Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, Paul goes on and say, brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't got a handle on this thing. He says, I'm not here to tell you I've got it all down and perfect. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need to let go of the past. Let me ask you, have you had a bad year? Probably, if he's honest, there'd be some heads around here that could say, yeah, I've had a bad year, preacher. Things haven't worked out the way you thought they'd work out. You're still waiting on God to settle some things that aren't settled. Hey, that's the reality of it, isn't it? You've had to go through some rough patches, travel some pretty hard roads the last 12 months. On the other hand, it may be somewhere along the line, you blew it. Fell into some area in your life that you know was wrong. You messed up. Fell into sin for which you're still grieved and repenting of even this morning. It's okay. Paul says, what? Forget it. Forget it. Forget those things which are behind. Trounce the past. Hey, confess them. Get them under the blood of Calvary and move on. Maybe you've had a great year. God blessed you in ways you never dreamed He would do. Things have come together in your life and things are just rolling on. Guess what? Forget it. It's a brand new year. Praise God for yesterday and go on. For most of us, it's probably a mixed bag, isn't it? There have been some good things, been some things that weren't so good. Yeah. Bottom line, need to praise God for His goodness and His mercy, for His forgiveness. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Glorify Him for every bit of it. But this one thing for sure, beloved, you've not arrived. I've not arrived. We've got a way to go. Don't we? Is anybody here arrived? I've still got a ways to go. And Paul tells me, let the past be in the past. Jesus died for it all, didn't He? Let the past be in the past and move on. Move on. Trounce the past. Let's go on with what's ahead, with what the Lord has for us tomorrow, next week, and next year. Why? Because we've got a ways to go. We need to occupy how long? Till He come. We get stuck on yesterday. Hey, Satan loves to get us stuck in yesterday. He loves it. He gets you stuck in yesterday and he paralyzes you. He nullifies you to be any good for today. Can't live in yesterday. Don't worry about the future. Just press on for Jesus. And then, of course, lastly, we need to see this morning, we need to travel on. Travel on towards the goal. The goal, well, we read it here in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Are you reaching forward or looking back? You got your eyes in the mirror or looking on ahead? Won't it make a difference how you live? Won't it make a difference how we view this world if we keep looking at yesterday instead of looking at what God has for us today and on ahead? Sure it will. Huh? Sure it will. Are we reaching forward? Reaching forth unto those things which are before. It does no good, beloved. Listen to me. It does no good to continue lamenting the past. You can't change it, can you? I can't change it for you. Jesus died for it all. Amen. Leave it behind. Reach out to what God has for you today, tomorrow. Let me ask you, well, Are you reaching forward? I hope so. Do you have any goals for the next year? Do you have any goals for 2014? Seems strange even to be saying that all the way. Paul says, I pressed towards the mark. A mark would naturally speak of a goal. A goal. A goal. How many, let me ask you this. I'm going to meddling now, okay? How many of your goals in life, and I trust you've all got some sort of goals, how many of those goals revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ? Huh? How many of those goals you have for life revolve around Jesus? He's the center, the thrust, the reason for it all. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Think about this. You know, so often we're just consumed. I'm not picking, please. But we're consumed with stuff, aren't we? Things. We get this thing, and what do we immediately start thinking about? This other thing. Huh? Well, I got this, but I can't wait where I can get that. It's just the way we are. This old world got us tied up in that mindset. Satan loves to feed the flames. The world's not far behind. It's natural. Natural indeed. We look out for number one, as we've said before. You know, it reminds me of I read this story about a mother's fixing breakfast for her boys. She had two boys, the one's name was, I believe, Kevin, and he was 5 years old. And he had a little brother, Ryan, was three. And she's making them pancakes. And, you know, she's got the batter all mixed up. And first pancake is there in the skillet, and it's cooking away. Well, Kevin and Ryan, they start fussing about who's going to get the first pancake. You ever had that discussion at the house? Who's going to get the first pancake? Well, Mom's thinking about it, and she says, well, this would be a good time to teach the boys a little bit of a spiritual lesson. She says, now, if Jesus was here, he would give the first pancake to his brother. Well, Kevin wasn't going to let that go to waste. He turned to his little brother, Ryan, and he says, Ryan, you be Jesus. We're always taking care of number one. Huh? It's just the natural thing. It's the unnatural thing for us to be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Huh? Who let all that go, everything that was his, and took upon that form of a servant as we saw a week ago. In the incarnation, taking upon himself flesh and blood. Might it be our prayer rather to more and more with every day and every breath we take, to more and more to emulate, to be, to have the heart, to have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, beloved, what impact would it have on this old world if you and I here today had truly had the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh my. Do we desire, close with this, do we desire the Lord's prize? Do we desire the Lord's prize? Press towards the mark of the high prize. Whew. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you desire the Lord's prize? Again, you know, we get caught up in all that's going. It's Christmas time, and you know, never mind how old I am. But even still, the grandkids was bringing those packages over to me the other day, and the inner child revealed himself. You know, I couldn't wait to see what was inside that box. inside that package. You were the same way. Huh? We can't help. We like those things. That's nice. It's fun. And no, I love to receive, but I sure love to give. The Lord Jesus Christ gives. He is a giver. He gives and He's promised to you and I that as we press, the idea there, press, to give ourselves. To give ourselves. To press toward the mark of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize. What's the prize? I was praying about that this morning, and you know, there's all kinds of things. We could preach a whole nother sermon, but I won't. On the prize that is ours in Christ. But I believe with all my heart, the real prize is Jesus Himself. Paul talked about knowing Him, power of His resurrection. He told every church he could possibly write to or preach to about all the blessings of being in Christ. Lord, the greatest, folks, the greatest prize that you and I can have in this world and in eternity is Jesus. To know Him. To know Him. To be in Him. That's the prize I'm pressing for. And I'm praying, beloved, I'm praying, I'm asking that God would help me to work against this old flesh this year, this coming year. That I'd want with every single day more of Jesus. Want to live more for Him every day. You say, you're the preacher. Well, I know. I know. I know y'all pay me to be good. So be it. But that's inconsequential. I just want to be like Jesus. I want to have Him. I want to have Him in such a way that He shines through me. Praying that, Lord, help me to have a hedge on this thing behind my teeth, huh? Help me think. Think on these things, Paul told the folks at Philippi. Think on these things. And what was the summation of it all? Things that would glorify Jesus. That would honor Him. I want to be involved in the work of God. I want to be used to see folks saved. Oh, please pray. Thankful for every young person, every individual that was saved this year at Metropolitan or through the ministries of Metropolitan Baptist Church, whether it be through directly through the church here at Lake Worth or our missionaries in different parts of the world. Thankful for that. Praise God for it. But I'm praying, my prayer is it wouldn't be nothing but first fruits, folks. Again, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that trump's going to sound pretty soon. It could sound at any moment. I don't want to be laying back on my lees when that happens. I don't want to be at my leisure, beloved. I want to be involved in what God's doing. I want to be busy in His work. And I want my walk to glorify Him. Best I can, I want to walk in His steps. I want to walk in such a way that my church family say, our pastor loves God. That's my prayer. I want to be an example to my wife and my kids and my grandbabies. Praying, beloved, please, let's join together in this prayer. Let this mind be in me, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's stand together.
Father, we love you today. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus, the lover of our soul. So thankful that you've been pleased to save us. Lord, I don't know that it might be that there's someone in this room today that, Lord, if they got honest before you, they'd have to confess that they don't know where they'd spend eternity. They don't know if they're saved or lost. There may be some that would say, Preacher, I know I'm lost. Father, please, please get past the preacher, get past the weaknesses and frailties of the flesh. Just speak to those hearts. Might they see Jesus. Might they see him in his beauty and, oh, Lord, see him in his love and his goodness. How much he loved them to save them from their sin. Forgive them and give them everlasting life. Oh, Father, please, please deal with their hearts. Lord, I also pray for each and every one of us in this room today that are saved. Oh, God, please help us. Help us to live lives that would glorify Jesus. Lives that would honor him and please him. Lives that would be a testimony, a declaration to a lost and dying world that you're still in the business of changing lives. Oh, Father, please, please work in our hearts today. Do eternal things. Do things that will matter, Father. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving my soul, dying for me, dying for each and every one here today that's saved. Oh, God, please. We ask you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 118.
Beloved, as always, these altars are open. Please just obey the Lord. Do what he'd have you to do. Don't hesitate. If you need, the Lord's laid on your heart to get in this altar and pray. Please don't wait a moment. You step out. You come. Pray. Seek the Lord. If you're here today and you say, Preacher, I want to know I'm saved. I want to know where I'll spend eternity. As well, I encourage you, step out, come. Take this preacher by the hand and say, Pastor, I just want to know I'm saved. I want to know where I'm going to spend eternity. We'll do everything we can to point you to Jesus, friend. Do everything we can to help you. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Indeed, thou blessed Son, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.